This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table's turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to Monday, April 22nd. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Draft week, NFL draft week, is upon us. Here in Memphis, that may or may not mean a lot to you. If you're a Tennessee Titans fan, it certainly does. If you're a Chicago Bears fan in Memphis, Tennessee, it doesn't mean quite a lot. But good for Nashville, good for NFL, a bunch of NFL hopefuls. And John Martin, though, here locally, it feels like there's a buzz. You know what that buzz is about? It's about University of Memphis basketball recruiting. A lot going on. We'll talk about it. We'll set it all up. Big week and a big day, certainly. John Martin, welcome to Monday.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. We are sort of embarking on a very pivotal time for the University of Memphis basketball program as they are attempting to put the finishing touches on this 2019 recruiting class. And a huge component of that is in town. Today,
as like of the way today. I left that there.
Yes, I can officially tell you that Precious Achiuwa, 5-star forward in the class of 2019, top 10 over at 247 Sports, has landed. He is in Memphis. That visit has begun.
Excellent.
So he was originally going to fly out of Memphis tomorrow for another event. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but some other kind of basketball event that he had to get to. But I have since been informed that he says he wants to stay longer. He wants to stay until Wednesday.
Oh.
You know, you get 48 hours, so he can stay until Wednesday. So I've been told that he now plans to do that. He intends to do that.
Well, so, you want to make an extended stay, the full stay.
No doubt.
So that's good news.
That's exactly right. And again, this is his second visit. It's going to boil down to North Carolina and the University of Memphis for Precious Achiuwa. No UConn, no Kansas. This is going to boil down to either UNC or the University of Memphis. And so the Tigers and their staff this week, over the next, two, 3 days, will attempt to show Precious that this is the best option. I have been told, and it's not what I would have done. It's not the place I would have taken them. But I've been told that the visit will begin with a lunch at Gus's. I don't know which location, but yes, I've been told that the visit will start with a trip and a lunch to Gus's. So there you go. Big show we got planned for you today. I'm very excited. Again, I said it's not what I would have done. We have a big show planned for you today. At 11:30, we're going to be joined by Van Lathan. Van Lathan, of course, does everything for TMZ. He's all over He was actually on the broadcast for the Jordan Brand Classic.
Tell me about that last week. It's kind of random. It's kind of cool to hear him on it, though.
Kind of random, but he was on the broadcast. And, of course, James Wiseman was named co-MVP. Let's be honest, he was the real MVP because his team won.
Yes.
And so he was the actual – he was the real MVP of the Jordan Brand Classic.
Absolute stud down the stretch offensively, he was.
Was Van going crazy?
Van was going crazy about the hook shots. Mm. The man was throwing, James Wiseman out there throwing hook shots going in, and I'm telling you right now, he was the reason his team won there down the stretch. He took over, I think, 19 in the second half. He was awesome, and as John said, co-MVP.
Yeah, so we will talk to Van about that. Also, Van is just he's a very interesting guy.
Well, yeah, his Red Pill podcast is blown up.
Yeah, he's got a podcast called the Red Pill Podcast where he has on a variety of guests, like in music and entertainment. That's really good. But also, like, you alerted me to this. I had not seen it. I follow him on Twitter, but I missed this. He was flying to Florida, and he happened to be in first class on this particular day. And sitting next to him was an elderly white man.
Makes sense, first class, right?
Yes. And this elderly white man was reading a book called When Cotton Was King. And Van, at that point, sort of puts his dukes up. Like, he's ready.
Hell.
It's going to be one of those, huh? It's going to be one of those flights. And by the end of the flight, first of all, he learns that the white man's name is Orlando. Definitely an interesting fact. But he also learns that the book is not about what he thought it was about. And Orlando was a cool-ass guy. It's a lesson in not – and I know this is going to sound cliche, but not judging a book by its cover. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, you're right.
That's right. It's a white man named Orlando.
I think we all knew you were going there.
I knew a white man named Leroy once.
Did you?
Yep.
That's unusual.
He ran an old dealership called Classic Cars.
Are you sure he was white?
Yes, and he ran it with a guy named Charlie Brown, who was also white.
I feel like Orlando might have been a name for white guys back in the day, but Orlando I reserve.
But
for,
what about Leroy?
We got that name now. Leroy, that's ours. Not too many white Leroys.
Not in this case.
Not too many.
Van Lathan is going to join us at 11:30. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
At 12:25, Jason Fitz, he was out, man. He was out
strep
of commission.
And flu.
He had it all. It was all going on with Jason Fitz last week, but he's better now. We will have him on at 12:25. We will talk to him about the NFL draft that's coming up.
He's got a bunch of stuff for the draft, obviously, with Nashville being the capital of country music, as you guys know. I keep you updated on that. And Jason Fitz, of course, being the
thank you,
being the music man that he is over all genres.
That's right.
As a matter of fact,
that's right.
Has a ton of video with a bunch of country music folks, John.
That is correct. So anyway, Jason Fitz will join us at 12:25. We will talk to him about all of that,
including one of my favorites, Kane Brown.
Yes, a mixed gentleman who is one of the
what you stars. Know about Kane Brown.
He's mixed. That's what I know about mm-hmm. him. He's actually been in studio here not long, not 92.9, but like he's come to 94.1 The Wolf like in the last 6 months.
I like him.
You do like him?
Yep.
Sing a song.
Oh, I don't know any of his stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, then how can you possibly like him? I've seen him perform.
Doesn't Brad's kid like him too?
I'm pretty sure Brad's kid does, but yep. I can't keep track.
He's on the one with that guy. Talented dude, Kane Brown.
So, Jason Fitz will join us at 12:25. And then at 1:25,
oh boy,
adjust your schedules accordingly.
Oh, boy.
We are going to be joined by the Wave God, the artist formerly known as Chris Douglas Roberts, now goes by Supreme Bay. He is going to join us at 1:25. He is, as you guys know, and as we've sort of talked about before, he has a foundation. It's called the CDR Supreme Dream Foundation. And he announced over the weekend a very cool development. He is going to be putting, it's either one or two kids every year to school at Memphis.
I saw 4 years tuition.
Yeah. Yes.
That's phenomenal.
Specifically, not just to any school, but to the University of Memphis.
I mean, one, and if you're helping for 1 year, it makes a difference. So to help any amount of kids and to try to give them 4 years to, you know, tuition paid, 4 year scholarships. It's tremendous. It's tremendous work, and I'm sure we all. And John, you did what was around Christmas?
Yep, it was
that
Christmas.
You guys did that giveaway, that give back, and John helped, and I know you took a bunch of toys to him, and that looked very successful. So anyway, I say all that to say, extremely appreciative of what Supreme Bay is now doing for you know, not just Memphians with the toy drive, but the prospective University of Memphis students.
Yep. So it's the CDR Supreme Dream Scholarship.
Pretty awesome.
Fund. And he announced over the weekend that the weekend of June 7th and 8th, he is going to be back in Memphis, and he is going to be having a charity weekend. He is going to have a high-end golf and poker event, Texas Hold'em style, June 7th and 8th. And if you're interested in getting involved with that, you can find the information at cdrsupremedream.org. But he's going to join us at 125, and he'll break that down, and we'll talk to him about whatever's on his mind. It's always a fascinating trip.
No, it's been fascinating to sort of get to knowing him again, John, and really kind of getting to know the man that he's become. And like you said, what this is a couple events now in 6 months, 7 month
period.
Yeah,
I mean, truly committed to it.
We're a guy who we didn't, you know, it's kind of we fell out of contact with for years there as he's going through his professional career, getting to know again. Here he is back in Memphis, you know, 6, 7 months. He's doing two events. It's awesome to have him back in town.
You know, you got to remember he
contributing.
He was a part of, and you joke about it, but he made the oral history. And it was after we talked about that 1-2 game that, because you got to remember, like, he didn't really want much of anything to do with Memphis.
No, we barely talked basketball. We couldn't because he was, I mean, it was out of contest, sort of like Rose.
And, you know, I don't remember if there was like some bitterness there or what. He didn't want he doesn't want his jersey retired. But he said after we talked about,
he wants whole team retired.
Game. Right, exactly.
Just about him. Make sure we say that.
Yeah. But he said after we had that conversation that, you know, he wanted to get involved with Memphis again.
I think it's awesome.
And he's walking it.
Said it then and he's walking it. Exactly.
Yep. So anyway, Supreme will join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. All right. Was a big weekend. It's going to be a big week for sure here in Memphis as the Tigers, like we said, try to put the finishing touches on this recruiting class. At this point, we probably should go ahead and get this out of the way. It will likely not be the number one recruiting class in the country. It's going to be very hard for that to happen. Duke has that on lock. Duke with the addition of Matthew Hurt last week, and now they're going to add Cassius Stanley later today, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the number one class. However, number two is there. Number two is there for the taking, which is unbelievable, by the way. Like, in a year where you're sitting here and you could realistically and conceivably add, you know, you've got a five-star guy on ESPN and DJ Jeffries. You've got the number one player in the country in James Wiseman. You are right there. I mean, you are right there with Precious Achiuwa, top 10 guy who's on a visit this week. You know, Lester feels like is all but a done deal. And you're still only gonna finish second like that. That's crazy.
I'm gonna be the guy that holds out hope here. And listen, we talked to Bossy about this last week. Eric Bossy over at Rivals heard him say it, that we sort of asked him this question: if you put together Precious and Lester, could you get to one? His point was no. It'd probably be others, maybe getting ahead of them. I think even Giannotto mentioned it too. And now I heard Evan Daniels say it this morning. Here's the deal, John. The one thing, and you tell me what you think. The one wild card in that, right? Precious and Lester. What about if you get RJ off a reclassify? Does that give you a chance to possibly surpass Duke? Or because again, in those scenarios, it feels like we're saying Lester Quinones, who did, by the way, announce that he's going to announce his May 10th will be his commitment date. It felt like the scenarios we were laying out there for Memphis to get to one were just Precious and Lester. What happens if you get a reclassified RJ Hampton coming from 2020? Obviously, top six, top five kid. And that gets added to it.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought up RJ Hampton, because while Duke is going to have the number one recruiting class in America, at least for now, Cassius Stanley, guard. Okay? Boogie Ellis, guard.
Already there. Yep.
Trey Jones coming back. Mm-hmm. Guard.
Right, he's coming back.
I mean, I know that when we had Rod Hampton on the show that he said that RJ doesn't mind playing with other guards. That's a lot of guards.
He also in that same breath, John, said our body of work sort of proven, and we expect to play.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He said, my son's not scared of competition, but come on, we're looking at your roster, and there's got to be a spot for us. We expect to play is what he's saying, John.
So if RJ is going to reclassify, and he's down to Duke, Kansas, and Memphis.
And what'd he tell you? There were no pros to not reclassifying. We think that's all but done.
How can he go to Duke?
That's what I'm asking you.
He can't go to Duke. He can't go to Duke. RJ Hampton cannot go to Duke because it's just too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis, on the other hand, while there are a lot of guards, you know, you're not dealing with Trey Jones returning.
Right.
You're not dealing with a five-star guy and Boogie Ellis. You're not, you know, it's just a reality. Like,
right.
There is just more of a path to play, you know, when you're top five talent at Memphis than there would be at Duke.
See, I realize we're not asking Bossy and Daniels that. We'd be asking them to sort of get ahead of things for them to, because typically with those guys, you want to see them reclassify first. Then you got to figure out where you're putting them in the 2019 class, all that. But, John, if you added that, doesn't it – I mean, you're talking about then another top 10-ish kid.
If RJ reclassifies, then I think
with Precious and Lester,
then I think it has. How can it not be number one? How
that's got to be one.
Not be, you know.
And I'm saying,
so it's still alive. I guess to your
right.
point, it's still alive.
So,
if RJ reclassifies.
So it feels like the national guys have sort of come on board where you've been, quite frankly, and this show's been for weeks saying Prester and Leshes, because you saw Evan Daniels over the weekend. Everybody saw it and tweeted it out. He switched his crystal ball to Memphis. This really feels like it's happening.
Didn't I tell you that was going to happen?
I just said it, John. Literally, you've had us on the track for weeks. There's no question about it. What it feels like, and also been ahead of, and we've had his father on with Rod, is it feels like that's a real option too, and how does that play in if you get a reclassified? Now, that won't happen until at least July.
Yeah.
You're talking about, because again,
yeah.
Rod Hampton's told us, you know, they take the classes then. They want to do Peach Jam and all that if they make it on the grassroots circuit. Want to get that done for him.
Yep.
But again, you're talking about in July having a real shot, we think maybe even an improved shot because of what's happening at Duke with RJ Hampton, and then the class is even better. And I'm not sure that Duke can beat out what you've got then, because at this point then, what, John, you're talking about three top 10s,
yep.
top 11 guys with James, with Precious, and with RJ Hampton alone.
Yep.
You know, add DJ, add Lester. Those are top 50 guys. Heard Evan say he's moving Lester up pretty soon into the top 50. How's that not one?
No, I agree.
It's one by volume. It's one by talent.
And here's the other thing with that. And I know it's the obvious, but it should be said. Like, it's fun. It's fun to celebrate all of this because it is so much fun, and it's such a removal from what we've been used to the last 5 years until Penny got the job, right? But the expectations are going to be at such a sky high level. Like, it's no longer just make the NCAA tournament. Like, that's off the table now. And I know that's something that Penny welcomes, right? But it's something that we should, you know, that needs to be said again.
That's what I was telling you.
You take your sort of outlook and your expectations on the year from, you know, just compete in the AAC, top two finish, be an 8-9 seed, to you got to get to the second weekend now.
Mm-hmm. Because, like I told you last week, John, You don't become one of the storylines in college basketball. You become the story. You become the story in college basketball. And again, think about what's there at the top. Last year, the story going into it was obviously Duke with everything it had, with RJ and with Zion and with Cam. This is something similar in terms of the recruiting class. Yes, Duke will always be talked about and be right up there with you.
Yep.
But you will now be one of the stories in college basketball. And again, I'm talking if you go, you know, Precious, Lester, RJ Hampton, which we think is doable. We really think is doable for that staff. And so, again, when you're the story in college basketball, yes, with that come expectations. No, just making the tournament with that kind of talent, John, with those kind of draft NBA
draft picks
on your squad.
You got to make some noise.
Just make a noise. And like we said with Bossy, you know, part of this is they've got to go where they're projected in the NBA draft,
no
right?
Doubt.
Part of continuing the success.
Yep.
Is for James Wiseman to go top three, really
yep.
top two, where
top
like
two.
He's projected to do, right? Precious Achiuwa.
And that gets
higher every game he plays. It does, because he's showing more and more every game he plays. Precious, you need him to go sort of where he's slotted if he ends up eventually coming. RJ, sort of same thing.
Yep.
But the other part that goes with it, and Bossy agreed with us, you can't underachieve with all of this talent to the point that John's making to. You can't go, you know, one and done in a tournament like LSU did with Ben Simmons.
Yep.
And recruits still look at you the same way and say, oh, that looks like something I want. Continued success and continually doing this means two things. Getting them to the NBA like they need to go, like they're projected to go right now, and like John said, not just you know, sort of getting there. You got to make some noise, and not just make noise. You got to go deep with this kind of team.
Yep,
the expectations would be way jacked up.
Yeah, so that's kind of where things sit right now. Precious just got here today. Like I said, the plan initially was for precious to get here today and leave tomorrow night for some event. And again,
I think it's the Allen. I was looking that up while you were talking. It was the Iverson Classic roster, which
that
is on
exactly
and is later this week, if I'm not mistaken.
That's exactly it. But for whatever reason,
maybe he can cut in a little bit later. I think their events start on Wednesday. I think I'm not exactly sure on the game.
Yes. He is now going to stay until Wednesday.
That's awesome.
So he is this, you know, he is sort of saying, you know, I'll get there kind of when I get there. I want to get the full experience at the University of Memphis, which is obviously a great development for them. You want to keep him as long as you can, right? I've also been told that, you know, he is accompanied by family on this visit. You know, his brothers and, you know, God's gift to Chua is one of his brothers, played at St. John's. And so his brothers are going to be accompanying on the visit as well. So this is a very important 3 days
feels
or
big
2 days.
To have family with him.
Huge.
Yeah.
It is huge because, you know, I don't know if they were here. I mean, I don't remember. That was, you know, 7-8 months ago for Matt. I can't remember. But again, this is the time where when you're at the University of Memphis, it is not just Precious and James and a bunch of other top flight guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just Precious. This is all him.
Right.
Undivided attention.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when you show him the facility and you really break it down. This is how we can use you. You know, this is when you show him the love. I don't think this is going to be commitment coming on Wednesday kind of thing. Like, I don't think that's what we're dealing with. I don't think this visit will yield that.
Mm-mm.
But
these highly ranked guys like this don't commit on visits.
But this is how you make the impression.
Oh, absolutely. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question I'm sure many want to ask you right now. We talked about Evan Daniels, as plugged in as there is out there, changing his pick over the weekend. Did anything happen for you? Do you think that's just sort of Evan kind of catching up to what we've kind of felt?
Yeah, I think that's him catching up.
Okay. I didn't know if the addition of a day or, you know, onto the visit, if there was something that went down that made him switch his crystal ball pick, or if that's just him sort of gathering the information, things have been out there and just kind of coming over to where we're at.
Yeah, I actually talked to Evan on Friday night because he texted me, frankly, just before he changed his pick, and he said, I'm crystal balling Precious to Memphis. But I think that's him just kind of, you know, that's been the buzz for a month,
mm-hmm.
at least from my perspective. That Precious in Memphis was a legitimate possibility, especially there with Lester. You know, like I said, I think last week the way I put it was they're going to have to mess it up to not get Lester.
Well, you tell me if this fits for you. Lester over the weekend announces, was it Friday after we got out of here?
Sets the
announcement date for May 10th. He's still got visits set up to Indiana, Michigan. When you're setting up, you know, the day you'll announce before you've taken those visits, I think it would be more writing on the wall for what John and I have told you. We feel real good about the spot they're in, and John's even said it.
Yes.
What's the term you're using? Bungled?
Bungled.
If they don't get this one?
Yes.
That one feels like, and that leads you guys know it feels like a domino. It certainly helps you with pressure.
With RJ, the way I would put it is there's work to be done, but they're in a good spot. There's work to be done with RJ, but I think they're in a good spot.
Well, I like that the circle's closing with Duke, or at least the teams that he's still considering along with you.
Yeah.
It feels like that circle's tightening.
Yeah, and listen, here's the other thing.
Who do you feel like's your biggest comp for RJ Hampton? Should he reclassify, which we all think, if Duke's is falling off the board
because of
everything they've got back?
I think Memphis's biggest competition for RJ Hampton is the year of 2020, if that makes any sense. Because, and again, this is just sort of you know, putting two and two together. But if you don't feel like the options that you have on the table are ones that you're necessarily you don't want to feel like you're rushed or forced into a decision, right? So if you don't like your options, Duke is closed off. Like, they're off the table.
We think so.
I mean, I don't see how that.
Everything they've said, it certainly feels that way.
You know, so, you know, it's going to come down to how comfortable they really feel with the situation at Memphis next season. And if they do, I mean, I don't really see Kansas as a true threat. I just don't with everything they got going on. So I don't really see them as a, you know, plus, you know, Arjun's on the Nike circuit this year.
Mm-hmm.
That was his dream. It was his dream to be on the Nike circuit this year, you know. So I just, you know.
He could always – Dad said part of the reason for not going back to high school would be, okay, a high school coach is dealing with something, won't be there.
Yep.
It's sort of a rebuild there. But John, isn't it a realistic possibility to believe he could go to a prep school for a last year that I'm sure would love to have him, quite frankly?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that seems like that's still a possibility. Even
always a possibility, yep.
Yeah.
But
I mean, those, I figured those schools are after him just like they were after Wiseman.
Yeah.
You want a guy like that for that senior year.
Yeah, that recruitment is going to be very fascinating. But like I said, I think Memphis is in a great position. I think Memphis is in a great position for R.J. Hampton. I think they're in a great position for Lester and Precious, all three of those guys. Trending, I know. Listen, I mean, we've talked about this for a month now.
That one feels like it's trending towards LSU, John.
I don't disagree with you.
I've said that since last week.
I don't disagree with you there.
Since he was here.
I still don't want to rule Memphis out just because of the connections there, man. Like, they run so deep. But it just to me.
You tell me, can you play them together? We touched on it last week. It doesn't feel like it.
I don't think so. But
I think that's one of the questions we'll get in the mailbag this week. I've already seen one ask me.
Did people
want to believe that Precious and I don't blame them for wanting to believe Precious and Trinity could play together.
Did people think John Wall and Eric Bledsoe could play together?
Yeah.
They didn't. It was frankly a little bit ridiculous that they went to the same school.
Right.
And I mean, I wouldn't say it was like a smashing success. Well, they make a Sweet 16 that year. I think they underachieved. I mean, they underachieved relative to what the talent they brought
usually
in was. But it did. It did happen. So it has happened in the past. You can't convince guys who play the same position to make it work. But you're just crowded. You're already kind of crowded. You got DJ coming in as well. Like, you just have so much already there. I just don't know if I don't know how you make that work. But at any rate,
Trenton was awesome in that Jordan Brand Classic for the time that he was in there. I think he had 18-7. We've talked about James Wiseman being the co-MVP in that game. Had 19 in the second half. I think finished with 25. Had 25 points in that game. Helped his team win. I'll tell you what, James Wiseman, it's almost like every time you watch him, right? Before this week, before Jordan Brand Classic, the talk was about his defense.
Yep.
McDonald's, he's swatting, right? He's swatting stuff. He hoops somebody, swatting stuff. Well, in this one, it was the offense. And you're seeing all sides of James Wiseman's game. It'll be fun to talk to Van and see the impression that he made with Van Lathan, who was calling the game. But it's hard, I say that to say this, hard not to get goosebumps.
Oh,
thinking about what's the possibilities
in
Memphis right now.
That's true.
Again, we're talking about what you can add to the number one player in the nation, which is already in the fold, and the guy just went off in the Jordan Brand Classic and looked like the number one, you would take number one with the draft, number one draft pick in 2020 in the NBA draft. I mean, it's ridiculous how exciting this is for Memphis.
It is ridiculous. Also, by the way, I got even more for you today. I'm really coming with the goods on this particular Monday. I've got schedule news potentially for the University of Memphis. I know we thought last week at that time that Memphis would not be involved in the alliance with the SEC. I've since gotten new information. I will break that down a little bit later in the show, but I think you're going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to really like what I heard over the weekend. So we'll do that a little bit later in the show. When we come back, Van Lathan saw James Wiseman and that lefty hook in person, up close and personal this weekend. When we come back, we'll ask him his impressions. And we'll get the story of Orlando. Not Tubby. This guy is a white man, Orlando. And he was not.
And he was cool.
And he's a cool guy. So the story of Orlando and impressions on James Wiseman when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Van Lathan is just the best. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. He's the best. He's a multi-talented man. You can catch him on TMZ, listen to the Red Pill podcast. He was on the broadcast for the Jordan Brand Classic this week, and he joins us now. Van, what's up, man?
What's up, dude?
What's up? Long time, guys. How y'all been?
Man, everything is
great.
Well, we haven't talked to you since you stood up to Kanye.
Yeah, that was a while. I thought maybe since the shine was off, maybe you guys weren't messing with me anymore.
You're blowing up. The Red Pill podcast, what you do is such a great. You're blowing up, man. It's hard to get you. You're so busy these days, which is a good thing, is a blessing.
Yeah, always here for you guys, though, whenever you need me, man. You know that.
You're the best.
Appreciate you.
All right, so we have a lot to get to. We want to talk about Orlando, all right? So we're gonna discuss your experience with Orlando a little bit later. But you were on the call for the Jordan Brand Classic there in Vegas, and that was relevant to everybody listening here because it obviously featured James Wiseman, who was headed to Memphis. What did you think, man? What did you think of James?
I thought he looked fantastic, man. I mean, there were a lot of standouts from the game, Cole Anthony being one of them. But Wiseman, it really looked like, and you can't, it's hard to say this about, you know, players of that age, but he really looked like a complete player. I saw him really, at that size, to be able to run the floor that fluidly. I saw him show touch. I saw him show a defensive presence. And it's just, I think you guys are getting a treat down there. It's amazing. He looked like a completely developed, put-together player. Now, obviously, there are still aspects of his game that, you know, he's working out, and he should always be striving to get better. But at that size, man, I didn't see any awkwardness. I saw an athlete and a guy who really had touch around the basket. I think he's going to be able to score in a lot of ways for y'all.
I think he had 19 in the second half, Van, and really kind of helped them kind of hold on to that win. The other team had come back on him. What do you think of that hook shot he threw? It's nice to see a big guy throw hook shot in this day and age, right? You don't see that too often anymore.
He had the hook shot working. First of all, he showed the ability to finish on the move.
Yep.
You know, especially with the left hand going to the basket. But he had the hook shot working, really extended from about, I would say, 9 or 10 feet,
yep.
Which, you know, when you turn it over your shoulder and throw a baby hook in from 3 feet right above the basket, that's great. But when you see a guy who can take the ball, hold it high, and get it up and into the rim from that distance, you know that that's going to be a weapon that he's going to be able to use when he gets mismatches off switches, and also just as a go-to bread-and-butter move. That's very important if you want to have a consistent score, to have a go-to bread-and-butter move, and he showed that a couple of times in the game. He was really great.
What did you think of Cole Anthony? He was shining. It was the other MVP along with James Wiseman. He stood out too, I thought. Big time.
Cole Anthony, to me, he was the Wiseman side. Cole Anthony was the most special player in the entire game. I'll tell you why. Number one, he was on the black team. Wiseman was on the other team. I don't like making these teams a black team and a white team. I mean, it's weird. It's like the white team is really kicking the black team's butt right now. The black guys have to get back. It's just a whole weird thing. It was awkward. Cole Anthony, his team was down. And to start the second half of the game, he just completely went into his bag. He sparked them offensively. He had a huge block. He sparked them defensively. He got everybody involved. And what happens is, in games like this where the talent is all at an all-star level, typically guys think that they have to go out and really do their thing. Well, he did that, but he also got his other guys engaged. And by getting them engaged, you saw guys run the floor a little bit more. You saw them hustle for rebounds a little bit more. And that's what led the comeback. What led the comeback was everyone feeling involved, and that all started with Cole Anthony. And you just simply can't ask for anything more from your lead guard.
No, he was fantastic.
Another guy who was relevant to Memphis, he hasn't announced yet, but he is considering Memphis. He's known Mike Miller since he was 5 years old, was Trendon Watford, who had 18. What were your impressions of Trendon?
Listen, he kind of played great. Got a little bit lost in the Wiseman sort of Cole Anthony shuffle. But I got to be honest with you, man. It's amazing to me, and I've talked about this. I mean, the kid's obviously a fantastic talent. But it's amazing to me to see the kind of names that Penny Hardaway is getting to come back around Memphis. When you look at these kids and you see that really Memphis is already kind of back, man.
Yeah, unbelievable,
Penny's
man.
Penny's doing his thing down there. And so when I look at the haul that they were getting and close to getting with the type of kids that they have coming in, it was a delight for me to see. I love Penny, man.
You know, it was this time last year that we got to talk to you about the Kanye thing, but it was this time last year, too, where the Penny thing was just happening. It had just been hired, and we talked to you about it, and you thought it was going to pop off. I'm not sure any of us, Van, expected us to be like that. I mean, you know, James Wiseman was a Memphis guy. He's at Memphis East, and Penny had coached him, so you figured they had a good shot at him. But the fact that they're involved with guys like Trendon Watford, it's gone to it. Let me ask you something. How'd you get that gig? You so cool with the Jordan Brand. Like, we're trying to figure out, man, that was a great gig. You were great on it. Are you so cool with the Jordan Brand folks? They just reached out to you? Sweet deal.
Yeah. like somebody, shout out to my man Kaz, who was one of my Kaz and Brooke. First of all, the whole team did a great job. Everybody enjoying Brand Damian, all of those guys were super great. I'm about to wear these shoes all summer that they gave me. But nah, man, they just reached out like kind of last minute, to be honest with you, because I had another. I almost didn't make it, bro. I had a speaking event down in Tallahassee, and I was in Tallahassee, had to fly from Tallahassee to Charlotte to Detroit and then to Vegas to kind of get there. But it was kind of last minute. But now they just reached out, and they reached out and they asked me to come down and just said, call the game, be yourself, have a good time. And, you know, to be around those types of athletes. And also an organization like the Jordan Brand that is focused on not only helping these guys get exposure as basketball players, but the whole weekend was also investing into developing these kids as young men. Mm-hmm. Because all of these brands and all of these places are going to want to be tethered to them and in the proximity to them because of what they can do on the basketball court. But they're going to need life skills, too, that extend beyond that.
Yep.
And I was pleasantly surprised to see that the Jordan Brand was giving them the knowledge that they need to do that. So shout out to the guys over there, man.
No doubt. We are, of course, talking to Van Lathan. Works for TMZ. Was on the call for the Jordan Brand Classic over the weekend that obviously featured James Wiseman. Let's be honest. He was the MVP. His team won. I have a little bit of a problem with the co-MVP. You don't give co-MVPs just because one team wins and one team loses.
Van, like Cole, though.
It's the best player on the team that wins. I have a problem with the co-MVP format, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, they did it for the girls' game as well. The girls' game, which is also fantastic featuring some. They didn't let Fran get out and dunk, which was we were all very upset about. Mm-hmm. But the girls competed. The boys actually had a lot to live up to after the girls' game because the competition was so high there. But, yeah, they do that. There's an MVP on each team. So it's not a co-MVP situation. They do an MVP from the away team and an MVP from the home team. It's like the best player for each squad. You know, like whatever. It's the way of the world. They also had a dance contest in the stadium where they brought four kids out and they danced. And then we all picked a winner by our applause. And then they gave a reward to everybody. I'm like, nah, what is this, man? No. One kid was the best dancer. Let him have his shine. But whatever. The new world order, though.
It is indeed. All right, so we saw this on your Instagram a couple of days ago. It was fantastic. Tell our listeners about this fateful flight that you were on with a white man named Orlando.
Right. So I am flying from, I think it was, I'm flying from Dallas. No, from Los Angeles.
LA. Yep.
Either from Dallas or Tallahassee, I can't remember. From Los Angeles to Dallas, I think it was. And I'm flying first class. And I never fly first class. So, you know, I always get a little weirded out by, you know, there's a walk of shame that you do through first class when you're on your way to your seat. And you look at the people in the eyes and over and look at you. I'm used to doing that. I'm not used to flying first class. So I'm a little on edge. What kind of people are you going to be? When I get to my seat, there's a book in my seat, and the book says, When Cotton Was King, and the book on the cover of it, features a bunch of African slaves carrying stuff away. When I get to the seat, there's an older white man sitting in the window seat, and he doesn't move the book so that I can sit down. So right away, I'm on the defensive. Not only is there a book with African slaves on it, but this guy sees me about to sit down. He doesn't think that I belong here. So what do? I do what we all do now, right now. I do a little performance. Go to Twitter, go to Instagram. Yo, I just got down here. I sat down, and this guy had a book called Cotton Ain't King Anymore. I am your worst nightmare. Say that whole thing. Sitting down, and at some point, I'm just doing my thing, and I'm eating some oatmeal. I get it for breakfast, and this gentleman says, he looks over at me, and he goes, you know what? It's interesting to see you eating oatmeal. You know, you're an older man. And he goes, I didn't start eating oatmeal until I was a much older man or whatever. We just start talking. We just start talking. So forget about what I thought about him, right? Forget about what he thought about me. We just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
We get into this guy's entire life story. I ask him why he was reading the book. He tells me why he was reading the book. The book is actually about a family that was born into the illegal slave trade, but decides after a while that they don't want to be a part of it and do their part to become abolitionists.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talk on this flight, I realize that my preconceived notion about this man from pain that I've internalized, from years of dealing with racism, seeing racism, and trying to fight racism, caused me to make a judgment about him that was unfair to him. Now, that's not me casting black Americans or any marginalized or oppressed people in a role of people who have to go out and stick their hands out to people who might have been or might be in the ruling class. But what I'm saying is, in this one particular case, it was important for me to come back on my Instagram and let people know that I was wrong. I was wrong. And that I am still learning, and that I am still trying to get better as a human being and as a citizen of this world. And that this gentleman, from what he represented to me while we were talking, was a lovely guy. And the fact his age and his demo shouldn't have really put him in that situation. What he was reading shouldn't have put him in that situation. And before you make an assessment of someone, before you do that, especially with someone with a form like mine, maybe it might behoove you to take a second and talk to them on a human level. And that's what I learned, and I'm glad that me and Orlando got a chance to talk. He was this cool dude, man.
Man, that story is so awesome. And you know what? It makes us look at ourselves. And you know what that story, reading it and hearing it from you now, made me think of when I'm passing through, because I'm like you, I'm usually in the back. When I'm passing through first class, usually I'm looking at them thinking they're judging me, right? Because I'm the low class guy, they're in the high class. But what I've realized looking at, listening to your story is that I do more judging of them, right? I mean, I put them in little boxes. Oh, you guys are rich. You guys think you're better than me. That's actually my problem. It's actually me and putting them in a box. And I wonder how many of us do that. You know what I mean? And a story like this, man, it resonates with so many of us, dude. I really appreciated the story and you telling
it. Yeah, we all have trauma. We all have pain. We all have things that we're dealing with. We all have preconceived notions. The question is how we don't let those preconceived notions inform us on how we treat people on a human level.
Yes, sir.
It's one thing to think something. It's another thing to act on it. Because now you're not giving yourself the opportunity to do what we're all here to do, which is connect with people. No one wants to be upset. At least, let me speak for myself. I don't want to wake up and be mad about racism every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wake up and be mad about sexism every day. I want to meet, connect, and know the good people that are out there doing things. I don't need any of these things to exist so that I can have a forum to discuss them.
Yeah.
If they went away, I would be perfectly happy. So when you meet someone and you were wrong about them or you form an actual connection with them and you talk to them, it's important to go out and let people know, man, look,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing my best. He's doing his best. We're all just people. We're trying to make it in this world. You know, I'm not tolerating anything. You guys know that about me. But at the same time, I'm not looking to create enemies where enemies don't exist.
Yep.
No doubt, man. That's absolutely beautiful. That's absolutely great stuff, man.
Great job on the game and great job telling that story, brother. We really appreciated it.
Appreciate you guys. Hey, man, listen, shout out to Penny. I said this during the game. I'm going to say it again. I love watching Penny Hardaway be successful. A lot of you young whippersnappers are not going to remember at the height of his game what an unbelievably sensational player Penny Hardaway was. He challenged the position. He changed the position in a lot of ways. We're talking about, if you're talking about Westbrook or Lillard or any of those guys, that level of an all-NBA talent. And to see him have a second life as a coach and be this successful, I couldn't be happier for him, man. So shout out Penny. I don't know Penny at all, but I was a huge fan growing up, and I love the fact that he's getting Memphis on the right track again.
It's about to be off the chain, man. We need to get your Memphis for a game.
Yeah, man. They got a good schedule, man. You
It'll
have to come
fun.
Down to Memphis. You're not from far from here. Come on down back to the dirty South, man. We got room for you.
I love it. By the way, this time when Memphis gets to the final game, man, y'all just make y'all free throws. And maybe, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Damn you.
Just make y'all free throws this time. CDR, Derrick Rose, I don't know where these guys. Just make your free throws and you'll have a trophy. I think Penny will get it done.
Hey, how about this? Real quick, man, CDR is actually coming on our show today at 125, and he goes by Supreme Bay now, and he's out there in L.A. with you.
Is he?
Yes.
Listen, you guys tell CDR that I would love to sit down and talk to him on the Red Pill podcast.
It would be awesome. It would be awesome. Yes.
Put in a good word for me right now. I love that guy.
Oh,
man.
I will, bro.
100%.
And that would be, I'm telling you, it would be your best episode yet. You've had some great ones. That dude
you would
is,
love it. You would love it,
he
man.
Is a different guy. But
it's
he's the best. Man, we appreciate your time
man,
as always,
thank
bro.
You for this,
thank
brother.
You.
No problem, man. Y'all stay up over there.
Yes, sir.
Dude,
he is Van Lathan from TMZ. Always enjoy catching up with him. And what great words, too, right? What great words he had about, you know, allowing sort of, you know, our prejudices, even if they're unintentional, right? If they're just learned,
natural, just kind of built in, whatever, the ones we've all got, right, grew up with.
Not letting them inform sort of how we treat each other on a day-to-day. You know, I think that's
or,
the form
judgments
in life.
Or not treat each other just because based on what you think you see, right? You know, or you know, not giving them a person the time of day that could actually be a person that's just like you. I thought the story, couldn't be what we need to hear and read more at this time, 2019. No question about it.
Yeah,
smart dude too.
That was fun. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show today. Like we said, Supreme Bay is going to join us at 1:25. Also, I've got some scheduled news. I mean, I don't want to say it's like a done deal, but I've got a schedule inkling for you that I think you'll really like for the University of Memphis basketball program. We'll get into that a little bit later here on the show. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Showdown, why don't you get over to the Wing Guru? You have a showdown with some fantastic wings. Billy Richmond, the former Tiger basketball player, serving up the best wings in town. Party, whole, boneless, however you like your wings. I'm a boneless man myself. Some men call that chicken nuggets. It's okay with me because the food's good. It's less work, and I do it with the best premium flavors in town. You can pick just about any one of them, can't you, John? Billy's got them all. They're all so great.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just lay them out
can't
for you.
Can't go wrong.
I'll just lay them out for you. You can choose. How about Honey Suicide? You like that?
I love it.
How about 901? You like that?
Love it. That's
spicy
Memphis.
Taco. You like that?
Ooh, it's good.
Garlic sriracha. You like that?
Yummy.
And that's just a few. That's just a few that you can choose from over at the Winger. And here's the great thing. Whichever decision you make, there's not a wrong one. There's not a wrong flavor to choose from at the Wing Guru.
5699 Mount Moriah. It's lunchtime. Why don't you get over there? If you're on the Bartlett-Raleigh side of town, you get over to 7199 Stage Road. It's the Wing Guru. It's the best wings in town. I don't have to talk about it. You need to be about it. Get over to the Wing Guru when you see Billy Richmond. Please tell him that Jason and John sent you.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternal FM ESPN. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 12:25. We'll talk a little NFL draft with him. This is the week of the NFL draft. Bennett alleges that he is going to that.
Now, Still going?
He's not going to. He won't be there.
But this was supposed to be paternity leave, and he's going to the draft.
But he's going to Nashville this week.
I see how this goes.
I'm not sure, like, how much fun do you think it would really be to go to the – I mean, for me, it would be fun because the Raiders are – they have three picks.
They got all the stuff around it, just like a three
all-star
game.
You know what?
Game.
That's fine.
You'll throw a little ball through a little ring, through a little hoop. You'll do all kinds of activities.
The NFL experience.
It's the NFL experience, John. I'm sure they got some virtual reality for you millennials. You'll love it.
Yes.
You'd have a good time.
Many times virtual, better than actual. And that applies to lots of things. So
it's like Derek Carr.
I'm sorry? There's nothing virtual about Derek. He's very real. And he also threw for 4,000 yards last year. You probably
virtually,
missed it.
Virtually. We'd all missed it, actually.
Yeah.
Because you guys are irrelevant.
All right. The Oklahoma City Thunder are on the brink of elimination. They are going to lose in five games.
This upsets me because I had them going, getting past this series. I really did.
They're going to lose in five games. Boy Donovan is likely going to get fired.
He'll take the, yep.
Or leave or whatever.
He'll take the fall.
Yep.
It won't be Westbrook.
That's how it's going to go. That's disappointing. Oklahoma City, it feels like for the last, I don't know how, however many years, it just feels like they're never as good as they should be.
Well, they are shooting way too many threes. They should be dominating inside.
The interesting sort of conversation about this series, because the series itself has not been interesting at all, But Russell Westbrook and sort of the way that he has kind of handled all of this has been sort of the focus, right? He and Barry Trammell have like a thing, man.
Oh, I know.
The columnist from the Oklahoman, like they go at it. They, time and time again.
Barry welcomes it at this point.
He does.
He's not saying that. He goes right at him, and he's going to ask you
It's good for the Barry brand.
Yeah. You can do this whole next question if you want to. He's going to have a next question for you.
He has actually, it turns out, been avoiding Barry's questions since January.
Yeah. He looks over at his PR guy or the media relations guy every time Barry asks a question like he wants the guy out of there. You're not going to be able to put Barry out of the room. It's not happening. He has a job to do.
Yeah. And so earlier in the series, he wasn't answering questions. He was just saying, next question, next question. And last night after the loss, he changed it from next question to good question, not sure.
Yeah, after and he had just one point in the second half.
I really don't know. Those were his responses. And Dan Wolkin, our old friend over at USA Today, writes a column where he basically says that this sort of behavior and these antics are bad for the NBA and that it is sort of widening a gap between fans and players because they constantly seem aggrieved. They constantly have a problem. And Dan's point is, this is from his column, and we can sort of go over whether we agree with it or not, but his point is the four biggest stories in the NBA in the last calendar year are as follows. LeBron left Cleveland for the Lakers. Anthony Davis wanted a trade and wanted to join the Lakers and awkwardly playing out the year when he didn't get the trade.
Right.
This constant speculation that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are unhappy with where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jimmy Butler holding out of Minnesota because he wanted to, you know, he couldn't get down with them anymore, which is interesting. What y'all got to complain about so much, man? Y'all always upset. And ratings are down 25%. Ratings are in the tank. Now, the first round series have been dreadful. These series have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best series?
Oh gosh!
I mean, is it Golden State Clippers? I mean,
well, I was watching Philly Brooklyn, but that one's about done now too. That one's just about done now too. So,
I think that's a big problem too. Is like the first round has just been bad.
We were into the KD Beverly Golden State Clippers series for a while until KD started, you know, being an assassin.
The NBA should take first round series to five games. They should do that. That's what I think that would actually help a lot. It would move things quicker, and you wouldn't have these.
Go back.
You wouldn't.
It was five at one point.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Like to me, because we don't need to see seven games between one and the eighth. You know,
the one that jumps out the most is the Bucks in Detroit.
Exactly.
It is a mess, and the Bucks I think are double digit favorites again on the road tonight.
At least Blake Griffin's playing now, but I mean that's what I'm saying. Like that series is trash.
It's trash.
You know, most series.
Well, I've been surprised sort of with the Jazz Rockets one, but yeah, I'm with you fundamentally, I don't want to just be prisoner of the moment. This year's been so bad, but I'm not against five. I mean, one thing about it is the NBA playoffs, what does it go on for two
Drag
months?
On.
I mean, they go on forever, and it does feel a little bit of this is worthless.
Yeah.
So you could shorten it up a little bit. That said, I'm not going to sit out here on a street corner and clamor for it. What I would say, to go back to the original point that you made, Russell, when he does this, especially with on top of the way he's playing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.